Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, book lovers. Want to hear a story? Welcome back to Storytime with Em. This is a mini episode from Em's Books and Cats podcast, where I am sharing some of my books, a chapter a week. And right now, I am sharing my book, The Last Witch. And this week is chapter 3. Enjoy. Every morning at dawn, Blade stood below my window. We spent most of our days together. He joined me on my treks into town and carried my bags on the way home. The kids lounging in front of the grocery store, melting in the summer's oppressive heat, took notice of me for the first time since childhood. The girls looked hungrily at Blade as we passed, shooting me looks of disbelief mixed with anger. The rumors started after our first trip into town. The kids were saying that Valencia had helped me put a love spell on Blade. They could find no other explanation for his interest in me. Honestly, I was just as confused as they were. Blade was sweet and affectionate toward me, but we hadn't kissed since our picnic in the maze. However, he professed his feelings for me in other ways, squeezing my hand or reciting sonnets to me while he lounged on a low, curved branch of a large oak tree in our front yard. He was classically romantic, and I felt like I was living in one of the great love stories. He was Romeo to my Juliet, Heathcliff to my Catherine. My heart and head were full of him. The rumor about the love spell bothered me because I had actually been doing some reading on the subject. My evenings were long and boring, and on one particularly dull night, I wandered into Valencia's library. I dawdled around, taking in the different knickknacks that littered the shelves and held most of the books hostage, trapped in gathering dust. There was one section of the library that was free of clutter, where the books were organized and clean. I squeezed behind her desk, between the stacks of books and papers, and pulled a large green volume from the tidy shelves. The gold letters on the spine proclaimed the book to be filled with charms, spells, and enchantments. I opened to a random page. They smelled old and dusty, and the paper crackled as the book fell open. It was a love spell. Below the recipe was a drawing of a man and a woman embracing and staring into each other's eyes as the world burned, unnoticed, around them. The man was facing out and looked surprisingly like an older version of Blade. The woman in his arms was slight. Her hair was darker and longer than mine, but our features were vaguely similar. The book was filled with love spells. There were other ones for wealth or power. There were even a few darker spells dealing with death and the dead. But love spells dominated the book. There were different ones for different levels of infatuation. Some of the more specific spells made me blush. It was hard to describe what I felt when I thought about them. I was confused and a little excited, but I was also a little bit repulsed. The idea of turning Blade's heart into a ball of mush was appealing to me. He made me nervous when I was near him. Even after all the time we spent together, I still could not look him in the eye. The desire to have power over him, to bend him to my will, was strong. Stronger still was the overwhelming fear that I was dreaming. I would wake up one day and he would not be outside my window. He was a fantasy, so ideal that he couldn't really exist. And yet he was still there every morning, smiling that smile that melted my heart. The rest of the books behind Valencia's desk had covers full of mystical words and fanciful images. I chose a book from the highest shelf. It had a soft black cover with the name Giovanni embossed across it in silver. As I sat and stared at it, the letters blurred and took on different shapes. A boat sailed off the page and rode a stormy sea. I could hear the thunder and feel the cold, salty spray on my face. As I watched, the boat sank and took the shape of a mountainous coastline. A body lay on the thin beach, face down, but breathing. Valencia called to me from the kitchen and the pictures faded away. The words in the book were again clear, telling the story of an apprentice witch. I closed the book, took a deep breath, and opened it again. It opened to the same page, the same story. Valencia called to me again and I quickly replaced the book. Though she had never told me not to touch her books, I felt guilty and nervous as I went to find her. It soon became my nightly ritual. I crept into the library every evening after dinner, when Valencia was curled up in bed with a glass of warm milk and her television. I started with the story of the witch's apprentice, and slowly worked my way through the books behind her desk. The books began to lead my studies by falling off the shelves or always opening to the same page. I read what they offered, and I began to learn about the witches of Norg Hollow. Norg Hollow was a hidden land far in the south, a tiny island off the coast of Antarctica. The witches were there at the beginning of the world. They thrived for millions of years, connected to our world only through a magic lake that showed them whatever they wished to see. When human beings came along, the witches were intrigued. Humans closely resembled the witches in appearance and communication, but most lacked the ability to create or control magic. As they watched the men and women struggling to survive century after century, many witches grew sympathetic toward them and wished to leave Norg Hollow and help them. The High Priestess, Mename, was among the sympathizers and allowed the witches to cross the seas. They dispersed all over this new world, and at first their help was gratefully accepted. As humans grew more prosperous and confident, they began to desire more power. They created new idols of worship and cast the witches down, cursing them and running them out of society. There was a long, dark period in the history of the witches of Norg Hollow. The pictures and tales from that time haunted my dreams. The remaining witches went into hiding for many years, but eventually, a movement surfaced, calling for all remaining witches to travel back to Norg Hollow, a place they had been unable to find when the dark times came. The journey had been attempted many times, and the witches that departed for the home of their ancestors were never seen again. I began to study the books in Valencia's library. I learned spells and myths and charms and potions. As I began to understand the witches of Norg Hollow, I began to understand Valencia, and in some ways, I began to better understand myself. The witches were odd, compared to humans, and they thrived in solitude. I felt as if I understood them better than I understood my supposed peers. My days fell into a pattern, mornings with Blade and evenings with the witches. I felt like I was learning more than I had in my entire 16 years of life. I didn't tell Blade about my studies. It seemed like an odd interest, and though he had accepted Valencia as a witch, I could not expect him to accept it in me. I was struggling enough with the roller coaster of emotions I endured in my every waking moment. Love was as painful as it was pleasurable. It was a surprising feeling, though not altogether enjoyable. Blade remained a mystery. He went from attentive and affectionate to distant and sharp in a matter of seconds. The latter would bring out a nasty side of him, a cold response with a hint of something much worse lurking just beneath the surface. It scared me, but his moodiness was usually quick and over in a matter of minutes. He was always apologetic when it was over. He knew it scared me and was quick to make amends. I willingly accepted his apology every time, and we would return to being happy for a while. A rough patch. That was what Valencia would have called it. That's what she called it when the whole town was gossiping about the bank teller's cheating husband. I came home from school excited to tell Valencia the latest playground gossip. Her face tightened, accentuating every wrinkle, and she told me that the bank teller and her husband were having a rough patch, and it was none of my business. That's how I thought of my relationship with Blade. These moments of anger were mere bumps in our path, something to overcome and forget as soon as they were over. Most of the time, he was incredibly sweet. We spent the mornings exploring the many paths that ran through the woods around the house. There was a well-kept trail running through the eastern woods, which led to Blade's house, and branching off of it, there were dozens of smaller trails. They all led to some amazing display of nature, and each one seemed to be more awe-inspiring than the last. My favorite was a clearing surrounded by younger trees, their slim trunks bathed in the golden light of early morning. Leaves littered the ground, and there was nothing else. Just an opening in the trees. The trail leading there was lined with oaks, crowding each other and looming far overhead. The sun slipped in between the leaves and speckled the ground with light. The energy in the clearing was strong. There was a pulse of life there, a power just barely contained. Blade didn't see the appeal. He didn't feel anything standing in the middle of the clearing. We left it quickly, but I marked the entrance as we rejoined the main path by dropping my necklace at the base of a tree, so it was barely visible unless you were looking for it. I went back there often by myself. The evenings were long, boring affairs unless I had something to occupy my mind, and I couldn't spend as much time in the library. Valencia kept her books in meticulous order, and I accidentally misplaced one. She began shutting herself in the library after dinner and not leaving until I had gone to bed. Sometimes I think she slept in there. The sound of her muttering, muted by the thick library door, was a constant drone in the night, and I enjoyed visiting the clearing to escape it. I went there almost every evening. I liked to sit in the very center of the clearing, close my eyes, and just listen. The forest was alive with sound, but in the clearing all of the sounds were dull, softened so as not to offend the tranquility of the space. The light was honey-colored and cast everything in a golden hue. The forest behind the first ring of trees was hidden in shadow, giving the clearing a safe, protected feeling. The air vibrated with energy, and when I left, I felt rejuvenated. Not all of the paths ended in places as nice as my golden haven. Some led to creepy places in the darker parts of the forest. Blade's favorite was a large cave, cut deep into the mountainside on the northern edge of the forest. The opening to the cave was wide and filled with a deep darkness, the kind of dark that seemed to have a shape of its own. The rocks above were craggy and jutted off the side of the mountain, giving the impression of a massive face, with the cave as its yawning mouth. Blade always wanted to go in, but I refused. He would smile, duck inside, and be instantly lost in the darkness within. I screamed the first time he did it. There was something about the cave that terrified me. I would wait nervously for his return, and he was never consistent. Most visits were brief, but on other days he would be gone for over an hour. The first time we went there, he was gone for most of the morning. I cried while I waited, and convinced that he had been hurt or killed, I tried to will myself to go in after him. It was always cold near the cave. A constant biting wind flowed from the opening, and I would sit hunched and shivering until Blade returned. It drained me to sit there. Dark, gruesome thoughts filled my head until I wanted to scream and run off into the woods. It seemed to have the opposite effect on Blade. The cave energized him, and he always emerged from its icy darkness smiling and rejuvenated. We began spending every morning there. Blade stopped coming to my window, and I would wake with the sun and meet him where the path to the cave joined the main trail. As much as I hated the energy of the place and dreaded the darkness of my own thoughts, I could not be away from Blade. There were a few bad days when he seemed angry and lost, but most mornings he was happy and paid me a lot of attention. I liked kissing him. He spoke beautiful words to me, and my heart would pound wildly at the sound of his melodic voice. The words usually didn't make sense, but the inflection he gave them was thrilling. They had a shape and a texture, and I felt dull and senseless when he spoke, unable to think of anything but his voice. Some days he would read to me from an old book bound in worn red leather. The words were in Italian, a language I loved to listen to but did not understand. Blade spoke it fluently. I would sit for hours listening to him. His voice was low, almost slipping into a chant at times. The energy surrounding the cave changed when he read to me. The cold winds faded to a cool, gentle breeze, and the light grew warmer and brighter. One morning, Blade abruptly stopped reading and looked at me with an expression far more serious than any I'd seen before. "I have to go." "What do you mean? Where are you going?" He didn't answer, but stood and closed the book after carefully marking our place with a thin white ribbon. He stared off into the woods and seemed lost in thought, as if he was looking at something amongst the trees that only he could see. "Blade, I have to go. I'll see you tomorrow." His voice sounded strange, far away and quiet. He walked away and left me alone beside the cave. The wind grew stronger and became even colder. It howled and rushed from the darkness and swirled around me, whipping my hair into my eyes, I couldn't move. My feet were heavy and I stood there, convulsing in the frigid air and crying. I slowly stepped toward the cave, and the wind calmed a little. I moved closer. The wind grew less. I stood at the entrance of the cave and peered into the blackness. There was a small pinpoint of light deep inside. It flickered and danced, and I could not look away. I barely noticed as I began to inch my way into the gloom. Suddenly, I heard Valencia's voice. It drifted up the path on a warm breeze and cut through the cold darkness. The light vanished. I left the cave and started back toward the main path. Still, the light intrigued me. I wanted to get closer. I wanted to see what it was that made Blade so happy. I was irritated as I walked back toward the house. Valencia's voice made the light go out, and I was immediately and wildly angry. She stood near the house and watched me approach with a worried expression. She looked like she was about to speak, so I stopped and stood sullenly in front of her. She hugged me close and held me tight in a surprisingly strong embrace. I returned the hug stiffly. Valencia held me out at arm's length and looked at me. After a moment, she smiled and shuffled back into the house. I followed a moment later, with my thoughts once again consumed by the light in the cave. And that is the end of chapter 3. I hope you're enjoying story time with Em. I will be back next week with another chapter of The Last Witch. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you all have a beautiful week.
A Frap Media production.